Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. I'm setting up my links because I forgot to send on the social media today the link to the show. Alright, we should be done soon. How are you guys doing on the regular chat? Today I've been taking a break of demolition. I've been doing enough demolition in the last few days, so I just wanted to rest. Steven Robinson says, hey Jeff, did you know that adding dill to ground beef makes burgers that taste like Big Mac? Are you serious? I will try. I will certainly try, because if there's anything that allows me to reproduce the taste of the great Big Mac, I will certainly want to master this. However, isn't it the case that the dill in McDonald's is in the sauce of the Big Mac, rather than the burger itself? I would like to know. Valet says, demolishing a beer. Yes, in a way, I've just taken it relax, and instead of demolishing walls, I have demolished a beer, absolutely. And end of the line, Joel says, 1000 Island dressing. Yeah, the famous Big Mac sauce is quite a mystery. I've seen a lot of attempts at reproducing it in the form of a Thousand Island dressing. Can't say. I mean, and there's these things that you can buy that they sell as burger sauce, and they kind of let you know that it's kind of like McDo. But I don't know, there is something special about the Big Mac. It's I've never successfully fully reproduced it. You can have something that tastes roughly the same, but it's never like going to buy a Big Mac, and I don't know why. Mark D was pointing out that Gonzalo Lira, Coach Red Pill, is back on Twitter. Well, will wonders never cease? Looks like I'm back on Twitter. Thanks to whomever it was who made this happen. Though honestly, it's a bit like being like an addict who got sent to jail, where he finally kicked the habit, only to get out and find that his parole officer is his dealer. Yes, it is an important moment, this return to Twitter, and the fact that we have developed lives outside of Twitter, and we have realized that we didn't need Twitter. And then some of us are getting unbanned, not me yet, but some of us are getting unbanned, and they're like, oh, this was not a healthy place to be. I have to go back, but do I really want to go back? I don't know. Absolute incompetence in Arsony here. They have been caught putting fuel onto a business, but look at this, they catch fire. People just don't realize how explosive gasoline is. Notice the explosion of gasoline even projects further gasoline liquid. You hear a splash and you see the splash of gasoline emerging from the initial explosion. Completely ridiculous. People just don't know how to handle gasoline. Denzimos says, laughing my ass off, retards, says Valet. They don't understand that it is the vapors that are flammable. Yeah, I mean, it spreads, it explodes, it expands. You have to take all of this into consideration. Keith Woods has shared a beautiful thought on SBF. And who was SBF supporting? Was he really a supporter of the Democrat? It said, and I think it's from Max Berger Substack, we keep hearing about Sam Bankman-Fried donating to the Democrat Party, but this Substack gets into the specifics of how he spent his money on politics. The obvious pattern that emerges is that he was putting Jewish interests first. Rather than funding Democrat candidates to help them beat Republicans, SBF was directing most of his money to Democrat primaries, funding the more pro-Israel candidates and working with other Zionist billionaires to stifle the rise of more populist leftists, who weren't friendly to the AIPAC. They clearly cared less about the Democrats winning election than they did about keeping both parties beholden to Israeli interest. I found more evidence SBF was collaborating with AIPAC and Trump supporting billionaires to stop the growth of the squad and the electoral left. SBF wasn't the only billionaire to support the effort. Trump supporting billionaires Bernard Marcus, owner of Home Depot, Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots, and Paul Singer, owner of Hilliard Investment Management, each gave $1 million to help defeat working class candidates. What did SBF have in common with the pro-Israel lobby and pro-Trump billionaires? In short, a desire to staunch the rise of the left and keep the Democratic Party in the hands of financial and political elite who protect the status quo. Of course. So when I say SBF was funding the Democrats, it's that I consider Democrats to be a shorthand for Jewish interest in America. We all know that there is overlap with the Republican Party, and that's why SBF was also donating to the Republican Party. He was donating to the kind of people who would defend Jewish interests just as much as a Democrat. That's why it's very sad to be a leftist today, because if you're a leftist today, your party isn't responding to your interest at all. So you really have no political voice. And even if you were to try to push forward candidates that are in line with your far-left beliefs, you would get crunched by the establishment and their flow of money. Dan Simmons says, "We had a coffee. Can burning can fuel? A coffee can burning fuel in the alley. A friend kicked it, and fuel shot straight up his leg." Well, of course, you wouldn't want to kick a can of burning fuel, definitely. That is correct. Porn website Age Checks introduced in Louisiana. Warning, adult content, you must be at least 18 years old to enter this site. Pornographic websites must check that users in Louisiana are over 18 years old or risk of being sued, a new law in the U.S. state says. Republican state legislator Laurie Schlegel, who introduced the bill, says she was inspired by musician Billie Eilish, who has spoken of the effect of viewing porn as a child had on her. But U.S. adult industry campaigners argue the law is the wrong solution. Age checks are also a key part of the UK's online safety bill. Under the Louisiana legislation, most users are expected to use a smartphone app called La Wallet, to show they are over 18. The app requires a driving license or an official state identity card to establish a person's age. The big problem with this law is that it creates a ping of identity that is supervisable, searchable, seizable by the state. And this ping, you don't know where it will lead. You know, okay, the website of porn shares with the state a request that says, "Hey, is JF Gariepi really the guy associated with this number?" And the state responds, "Yes." Now, just in this exchange, the state has just been informed that JF Gariepi is consuming porn. That's already something that can be used against me. It's something that can leak. It's something that could be in a database. It's something that could be associated with other activities of my IP. And now Papa JF is associated with this IP. And now, while Papa Jeff was watching porn, he was also doing other illegal things. And you see how, starting from just a verification that seems to isolate your driver's license from the porn website, the state is the big player seeing it all here. And they're the ones who have the FBI team who can write to the porn website and say, hey, we're researching about murder or terrorism. And it would really help us if you could tell us from what computer did this porn request come from. Because we would trace that computer for other purposes. And suddenly you have your IP identified with your driver's license and the FBI can find you. It all really sucks. Now, someone who's smart will not get caught by that type of thing. And in fact, if you're smart in the first place, you wouldn't consume porn. But it's still sad because it's again a more entry into privacy, more entry into ways of getting at people and hurting them that they didn't have before. Kuntzilla says, what if you destroy the computer? I mean, you're leaving traces that on the web that are totally hosted in other computers. If you are not using a VPN, even if you are using a VPN, there are different considerations there. Is your VPN company keeping the logs? But certainly your ISP is keeping some kind of logs. And certainly, even if you destroy your computer, what you have done with it is not disappearing. Stray's channel says KYC for porn. Yeah, it's a little bit what it is, KYC for porn. Perhaps there would be a blockchain solution that doesn't suffer from these disadvantages. Perhaps there would be a way we can prove to a porn website that we are 18 years old without revealing anything else about ourselves. But I think we're far from there, and we're certainly far from the government favoring a blockchain solution. End of the line, Joel says, on the web, there is always an entry and always an exit. Everything can eventually be traced. Yeah, I had great hope for the Onion Network, but it seems that even the Onion Network, they can do some stuff with it. They can control the exit points. They can say to the exit point, we're going to sue you if you don't tell us who it was. Yeah, it's a big problem. It's a huge problem. I don't know how we solve this. The internet is getting taken over, and I don't know how we solve this. There was a subversive agent sharing some thoughts on Telegram. His name is Frequent Frank. He says, JF seemed to be recommending 10 babies as the number of children that men should aim to father with their wives. I don't believe this is realistic for a number of biological and economic reasons. The maximum number of children a woman can bear is usually put at 15 to 30. The reasoning goes something like this. The maximum number of kids a woman can give birth to is 15 to 30 children. Women can reproduce for approximately half of their lifetime and can only give birth around every year. These are the biological limits on maximum numbers of children. 10 is too near to the biological maximum to be safe. It is also economically beyond the reach of all couples but the richest. Children are extremely expensive. Unless people are prepared to live in abject poverty or claim welfare benefits from the state, then 10 children will be unaffordable. There is also the huge problem of keeping order in family of 12 and reducing sibling conflicts. This would be more than most people could cope with. Adults who have grown up in very large family often report bad experiences in their childhoods resulting from poor parental management. 10 is too many. My response to him on Telegram was, nice try, Mossad. I can give a more detailed answer here. When I say that you should have 10 children, I'm not telling you to consider that you you have failed life if you have 4 or 6 or 3 children. It's totally okay. What I'm telling you is the evolutionary response to how many children you should have is the maximum. And I totally disagree with your point that it's not safe. That is ridiculous. In many ways, the health of a woman is better under pregnancy than without pregnancy. If you calculate all of the effects of being potentially exposed to alcohol, whereas if she's pregnant, she won't take alcohol. If you consider the birth pill effects, potentially, if you consider some of the hurtful effects on inflammatory responses of certain contraceptives, like the UBI or whatever, the little thing that you can put in the uterus or in the cervix. Anyways, all of these taken together tells me that a woman is equally, if not more healthy under a pregnancy cycle than under an absence of cycles or a low number of cycles in her life. IUD, that is the name of the device. IUD, intrauterine device. Secondly, as far as the economics go, the economics are pretty clear everywhere in Western civilization. If you don't have enough money to care for your babies, the state will pay for them. In Canada, it's just baby checks, one after the other. You want to have 10 babies, you're going to get 10 baby checks. In the US, it's becoming like this, although the checks themselves have been removed recently. But you have equivalent ways of helping, free medical services and for poor parents. And you have support, plenty of support, that you can definitely make it. And thirdly, I would say I see so many people with pickup trucks, with SUVs, and they don't have plenty of babies in there. They're living beyond their means. So you're telling me you don't have the money to afford babies? Babies cost basically nothing. Literally, I mean, it's just diaper cost and food, but the food that you give them, you can actually chunk it up from your own meals and eat less. That's literally what you can do as a parent. And until they're teenagers, where they will consume more in terms of mass, volume, and cost, for a long time, you can just share your meals with children. And a lot of what you would have thrown to the trash simply because you're single or you're two parents and there's not enough mouths to eat everything you prepare, a lot of it will just be better used if you give it to children. As far as inter-sibling conflicts, I don't think it's a problem. I think that people have huge advantages in coming into the world with a network of brothers and sisters who do different things. They get involved in different businesses. Sometimes they can collaborate. Like my brothers, they are collaborating in the real estate market and they're very successful. That's great. So, I think that all of your arguments suck. I'm not saying that 10 babies is the only thing you should achieve. And in fact, to give you an example of, I'm just saying it should be the target, the ideal. You don't always reach an ideal, but sometimes on your way there, you realize great things. And it's a great thing to have 2 babies. It's a great thing to have 4 babies. Just to give you an example of how this is not an ideological thing that I pursue, today, someone wrote to me and asked me what he would do in his situation. And I said, what you should do is aim for 1 or 2 babies. Here's the situation. So I'm going to try to anonymize and not tell too many details that would be traceable. But what we have is a man in Western civilization, a white man. He has a Japanese waifu. They have married 2.5 years ago, approximately. And he's 30, she's 35. He married an older Japanese woman. But of course, as a Japanese woman, like all Asians, she looks like she's 25. And he tells me, JF, I've been pressuring her for babies for the whole marriage. And she's always been wanting to wait, find a job maybe, because she had just moved to the country. But now she's 35, and she just told me, I want babies, even if I don't have a job. Let's do them now. And he says, what should I do, JF? She's 35. Should I switch to a younger woman? So my opinion, and he says she's super healthy, she's mentally healthy, she is loyal, she loves him, she is, she seems like she's going to be an awesome mother, she has all of the checks to living a healthy life, you know, enjoys the outdoors, that kind of stuff. So she is a good catch, but she is old. So what I told him is you have two options. One, inseminate now, right now, tonight. You don't ask questions, you don't discuss, you just boom, inseminate, inseminate, and do it every day. Because it may take up to a year before it works, especially with the age. And on top of it, once it works, it can lead to spontaneous abortion, which would be due to the age, perhaps, or even an abortion that is decided by the couple because of Down syndrome or something like this. So if you are on your way to make babies with this girl, it has to start now because he says he wants approximately 3 babies. Now, 3 babies with a 35-year-old is very, it's a very long shot. It's a bet that you do. Now, here's my thinking. You have this option one, start inseminating, don't think about it, and just make as many babies as you can. It's probably going to be 1 or 2. And do feel extremely lucky if you reach 3, because you have to take into account the fact that one of them, the pregnancy will not work, some of them might be delayed because you fail at insemination, and there might be some abortion. So don't worry about so much having 3 babies. What I say is, you have a wife of quality here. So you have found the Asian waifu. Congratulations, you have attained it. She is loyal. That is a rarity. And you've been with her 2.5 years, so there's some kind of stability between you two. And you know her well, and she's of genetic quality. And she's beautiful. She has the genes of youth, the fountain of youth. Here's the thing. If he leaves her, he goes for another girl. We've seen the dating market yesterday. I dropped my pen. We've seen the dating market yesterday. It's not all golden in there. It's not going to be perfect. He's going to be with another girl. He won't even be able to tell if that girl is loyal until a year or two, and he gets a baby with her, and then he tests her. But there's no guarantee that the next girl he will find will be of equal quality to the current he has. So I said, accept that you may make only 1 or 2 babies. Inseminate her, and then go for the option of leaving her if it leads to 0 babies, because he's 30 years old, she's 35. So you have 3 years where you can inseminate her, test her. Is she going to make babies? If she makes 1 or 2 babies, you stay with her. You try to make the third one. Maybe it won't work. Don't worry about it. Then you'll raise your babies to not commit the mistakes you've committed in life, and they will get 10 babies because they will have learned from you. Date younger. Now, in 3 years from now, you've lost nothing. You're 33. If it didn't work out to make babies with her, you're going to be 33. You would be able to leave her then just as much as you're able to leave her now. So my option there is inseminate immediately. Do not leave her. And worst case scenario, if she makes 0 babies, because I'm trying to protect this guy from the possibility that he may have 0 babies in his life. So how do we do this? You give your all to this Asian waifu. You try to extract the genetic quality from her. If that doesn't work, you have a safety net. You can leave her in 3 years. But don't leave her now. That would be throwing away a quality woman with loyalty characteristics for uncertainty. And almost certainty, in fact, that you're going to find a less loyal woman. Once you've identified a woman of quality who is worth pursuing, who is worth investing time in her, don't let her go. She is a good one, and just make as many babies as you can. If it's one or two, don't worry about it. Forex Shark says the current issue with the Onion network is that there is essentially no protection against a clever DDoSer. IP2 is superior to Tor in many ways and is the future, but it's not as easy and convenient as Tor. All right. Yes, I'm sure there will be alternatives developing, and all these networks. I'm highly questioning the resilience of these networks to spam attempts. Even Bitcoin, you know, I still can't believe that Bitcoin. There was one event, I believe, where the Bitcoin network was turned off for a couple of hours due to the DDoS. But I'm floored that there's not further attempt. I'm floored that the Bitcoin network has been basically forever operational. I don't know how they handle the spam. I don't know how it works. I understand that there's something in the fact that there's miners and there's kind of a cost to generate SHA hash that spammers are not willing to pay in terms of electricity. If I understand correctly, that's the idea. But still, you know, spammers sometimes control the computers of other people. And the computers of other people, they won't care about the electricity cost. I'm very worried that one day the Bitcoin network could be the subject of an attack. Callum Oxworth says, some of the advanced CAPTCHAs used by darknet markets seem to work well. Okay. All right. Matt Gaetz report on today's failure of McCarthy to become the House Speaker. Today, the House didn't organize. Biggest loser, Zelensky. Biggest winner, U.S. taxpayer. I really love the way he phrases it and frames it. I think it's a great idea to mess with the stability of the political system that way. I can't believe that a bunch of Republican candidates, Republican speakers, Republican representatives have the balls to do this. They are keeping Congress from organizing by refusing to vote for McCarthy, which is the centrist, main establishment candidate of the Republicans for Speaker of the House. So you have the Democrats on their side. They're not going to vote for him. They vote for their own candidate knowing that they're going to lose. But on the side of Republicans, you have a handful of something like 20 representatives who are deciding we're not voting for McCarthy either. And that leads to a standstill. No one gets the majority, so no one gets the House speakership. Now, there is a danger. The danger is that there will be an establishment backlash, that some people on the side of the Democrats would decide to allow McCarthy in, but by holding his balls and leveraging their negotiation power, saying we're going to give you 20 Democrat votes, to balance out your Republican members who don't want to vote for you, but you're going to be not just a centrist voice of the establishment, you're going to be a leftist voice of the establishment. So you're basically going to be Pelosi 2.0. That is the danger, and AOC is aware that she has that power. She says AOC has floated a coalition government after McCarthy fails to win the House Speaker vote. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez suggests unlikely resolution to Republican House Speaker fight, McCarthy negotiating with Democrats. that would be horrible. That would be where the Uniparty shows itself in its full colors. Not that we are not in a Uniparty situation anyway. We know that the political system always converges toward the elite and the establishment interest. But now there would be an explicit deal to make that happen. That would be even more horrible. By the way, I played with my mic settings today. How are you guys hearing my audio? I'd like to know. Because some people were saying that yesterday when I upped the volume, it led them to receive less quality. It kind of peaked for them. So I tried adjusting this down a little bit with new settings. So let me know, because each of you have different earphones and speakers. So I like to hear it from the chat, how different people can perceive it. Because if you have a high-end earphones, the peak sounds are not going to be as aggressive as if you have a low-end one. So it matters. I just bought, by the way, I bought the Sony XM5 wireless earphones for Mama JF, because we had those Skullcandy earphones from Walmart, and they kept breaking. I had done soldering on them once to repair the wire, but eventually they keep breaking. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to pay for a high-level wireless earphones. Personally, I'm totally against wireless earphones. But Mama JF, you know, it's practical for a woman, because you can hear sounds, watch YouTube videos while you do the dishes and stuff like this. I've also bought a dishwasher. So Mama JF is not only going to be able to multitask, she's going to have less dishes to wash. I can't wait to plumb this dishwasher. I'm very excited about it. It should be arriving maybe end of January. And I can't wait to plumb it, because when I was a young adult, I had bought a dishwasher for an apartment that I was renting in Montreal, and I had never installed it because I couldn't get through the learning of the plumbing. So I had eventually sold it to one of my friends, and I was like, you're going to have to figure out how to plug it, because I never could get there. And now I'm like the ultimate plumber, and I'm ready to do anything. And there's not a conversion of tube that will get me stuck. I will resolve this issue, and I will have a working dishwasher soon. Spindly Opinion says, that's very kind of you to buy a dishwasher. Mama JF must be grateful. Hopefully she is. John Drake says, oh, okay, all the numbers I'm seeing say they are. I don't know what it was in reference to. Some Random Bloke has sent two super chats. If you'd like to support the show like Some Random Bloke, make sure you add a payment method in your Odyssey account, and then you'll see a dollar button under the regular chat. Odyssey super chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can always use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. Some Random Bloke initially was saying, check out how far gone Israel is becoming. Even Abe Foxman is disowning them. 723901. Because I couldn't click in time on your URL on the J post. 7-2. Former ADL director says he won't support non-democratic Israel, an exclusive of the Jerusalem Post. Abe Foxman is considered one of the foremost Jewish leaders and formerly served as the national director of the Anti-Defamation League. If Israel ceases to be an open democracy, I won't be able to support it. Referencing the reports of the incoming government's plan to implement significant changes to the judiciary and issues regarding religion and state, Foxman said he's going to have a difficult time trying to get American Jews to support Israel. If they change the law of return and Israel's world-class judiciary system, all these things will impact the relationship with American Jews dramatically. if Israel becomes a fundamentalist religious state, a theocratic nationalism state, it will cut Israel off from 70% of world Jewry, who won't qualify into their definition of who is a Jew. One moment. The thing is, eventually that is bound to happen. And the only people who have been talking about this are the so-called far-righters. The fact that there is cognitive dissonance between how Jews argue for diversity outside of Israel, whereas Israel is converging toward a more and more nationalist, protective, and Jewish protective system. That's inevitable. Because, and the big, yeah, Rodi Lassid says Somalian Jews are Jews. That is the big weakness of the system. Okay, so you want to be opened. You are an open democracy. You praise the multiculturalism. You know, isn't it beautiful, as Jordan Peterson points out, that we have this kind of open democracy of Israel in the middle of the desert among Muslim totalitarian nations? That is a very hard cognitive dissonance to maintain when you realize that Israel, maybe because it's smaller than America, it will be much faster destroyed demographically by any change, whether it comes from the black Israelis who think that they're Jews, or, and I'm not saying they're not, I mean, whether it comes from the Kanye West of this world, who believe that they were referred to as the Jews in the Bible, or if it comes from the expansion of the Muslim population that has rights in Israel, it will come one way or another, that the big fear of that was expressed to Bibi Netanyahu by a late night host, the big fear will happen that there will be a Jewish minority in Israel. And then what? Then you lost the very demographic fight that you led against other people in other nations that were merely nations hosting Jews, like America. So eventually your own wrongdoings turn against you. And so it's inevitable that Israel will become either a non-Jewish state or an aggressively nationalist, protectionist state for Jews. And either way, I'm laughing my ass off. Because, I mean, you're going to have to support an extremist self-protectionist state for Israel. You're going to have literally to tell Muslims who are making babies in your countries, you stop making those babies, and you're going to have to find a way how to do it. And it's going to be genocide no matter how you do it. So I'm looking forward to what will happen, how they will handle this. John Drake says, Iran is rising. Eventually, short of their genocide, nothing can stop this. Exactly. So we are pushing the Jews into a corner here. You tell us what you want, Jews of Israel. Do you want an open democracy? Do you want to be seen as the forefront of the Jordan Peterson war front against Islam, or whatever it is that he thought he was talking about when he cried in front of an Israeli crowd? Or do you want to be the people who shows to the world what it truly means to maintain yourself in existence against the forces of invasion, against the forces of demographic destabilization? You act first, Israel, and then hopefully, Western Europeans can watch and learn from the Jews. The swamp needs to be drained. Trump dumps McCarthy after a sixth failed speaker vote. I think, did they fall for a fake? Because Trump has said in his Truth Social that there was a fake Save America post about him. Okay, so they changed the title. So Zero Hedge was initially wrong when they reported that Trump was dropping McCarthy. That is not true. Trump debunked this on his Truth Social and stated that the Save America little letter was a fake one. So Trump is still on the side of the establishment, it seems. However, there are 20 courageous Republicans, and those are their names. So the names I recognize: Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz, Paul Gosar, Anna Paulina Luna, Scott Perry. So basically, a force of resistance within the Republican Party is making it very hard for McCarthy. McCarthy thought he might get something, so he went for the vote. And he went 6 times, thinking that it could turn different, but it didn't work. And so we have a caucus of resistance within the Republican Party. I love this because we need to weaken the takeover of the Republican Party by the establishment if we want to have a second option in politics in America. Because right now there is a single option, and it is AIPAC, the Uniparty. The Religious Question says, that was a beautiful description of the paradox of Israel from JF, loving it. Thank you very much. I work hard to create these moments on our little show here. The Sixth Sense says, Trump on Truth Social showing support for McCarthy. Yeah, exactly. I had visited his Truth Social today to verify whether it is... I was like, this is weird. Trump already dropping McCarthy, and the Zero Hedge story turned out to be wrong. Now, I will note, as I refresh the page, every detail has disappeared. Like, they erased from memory their error. Isn't, or maybe if I go down, it will still be there. They seem to have erased their false statement from the record. The normal journalistic practice is to leave your error on the record and say, oh, we're sorry, we got it wrong, but here's the error so that you can see it. They have allowed themselves a little self-deletion here. Okay, I still respect Zero Hedge, but that is a little curved ball. Reflecting on the Genesis block and Bitcoin on its 14th birthday, exactly 14 years after Bitcoin was born through the Genesis block, Proof of Keys Day helps us remember why the protocol was invented and where we are today. Here is the message of Satoshi Nakamoto, written in the first Bitcoin block, The Times, in January 2009, Chancellor on brink of second bailout of banks, and you look at what article that was. Can you believe this? The guy who created Bitcoin has left a message in the blockchain for us, and we still don't know who it is. It is probably dead. We were discussing this with Forex Shark on the Discord. I think that the Forex Shark hypothesis makes total sense, that it's a guy who died about 10 years ago, which would explain the absence of movements of the original Bitcoin wallets. It's interesting because he quoted this article of the Times, Chancellor on the brink of second bailout for banks. And that's exactly what Bitcoin protects us from. It protects us from this loose definition of money that allows reprinting, that allows exploitation by a central entity. But I found it interesting that on the very same page, Israel prepares to send tanks and troops in Gaza. Was Satoshi Nakamoto trying to... Was he based? Was he alarmed at the behavior of Israel with respect to Palestinians? it's an interesting thought that he was not bringing our attention only to the article at the bottom of the page, but that he was bringing our attention to the article at the center of the page. Lendald says, by the way, McCarthy was one of the principal pivot players within the official Republican apparatus betraying Trump. Yeah, it's weird how Trump loves his abusers. He has the behavior of a beaten woman, you know? It's like, oh, he did it, but it's okay. It's bizarre, this behavior by Trump. The Sixth Sense says, whether intentional or not, how can we trust any news source? We have been lied to on a 24/7, 365 basis for years now. Absolutely. Stephen Robinson says, JF, how much BTC success is due to those origin coins never having moved? Well, definitely, if the origin coins would have moved, we would have a bigger supply. I think there would be basically the same success for Bitcoin, but all of the bull runs would be slightly lower because those coins would be in issuance, and therefore each Bitcoin would be worth a little less. Some random bloke says, hey, JF, did you see this interview between Jordan Peterson and BB? Looks like they are justifying Israeli colonization on the fact that Palestine wasn't developed and they made it a developed country. Europeans can't use that argument in South Africa and Zimbabwe. I can give it a listen, but I've been exposed to this kind of argument before and I don't like them, but let's listen.
Israelis, the Jews have done a tremendous amount of work in improving this territory, and I know
I made these arguments, and I get called a white supremacist. Like, you make arguments like just a not even an edgy argument of just saying, you know, the black population of America has highly benefited in comparison to any other black population in the world of being in an advanced country. And so the trip that was made from Africa to the US, from a long-term perspective, even if there was slavery at some point, in the end result for a descendant of the slaves is that he is living in a higher quality civilization and probably with more well-being and more access to wealth than any other black population compared across the world. You make this argument, they hate you. This is the argument that Jordan Peterson is currently making for the Palestinians. Shouldn't they be honored that they got invaded by the Jews? The Jews made their lives so much better. Stephen Robinson says, so you are bullish on slavery? Bye! No, I'm not bullish on slavery. That was an intentional misinterpretation.
I know there's a principle of ownership in Western common law, in English common law, and I'm not a lawyer, so I may muck this up to some degree, but I understand the principle. If you own territory, a vast swath of land, and you're doing nothing to it, and someone comes and squats...
Use it or lose it. Holy shit! Can you believe this? I mean, this is more aggressive than anything that was ever said in the surrounding of Faith Goldie. And yet Jordan Peterson said that Faith Goldie was a hot asset, that she didn't deserve to speak beside him, and we decided to chop her off the conference because she was too hot material. Faith Goldie has never advocated for a use-it-or-lose-it principle for sovereign nations. Are you fucking kidding me, Jordan? I mean, by this standard, I could take some of your assets. You're not using all of them. Those bitcoins have been sleeping too long, Jordan.
...on it and spends a lot of time improving it. At some point, they actually develop a valid legal claim to the property itself. And so there seems to be something intrinsic to our notion of valid ownership.
This guy is unbelievable. This is so disgusting that he dares do it in public like this and just doesn't care about it all. Talking of valid ownership, if you need to add a qualifier before ownership, it's not ownership.
That if you're going to occupy a territory, you actually have to do something with it that's productive. And
holy shit. The argument for the expansion and domination of European civilization over the entire world. I mean, the Australians haven't been super productive, let me tell you. Have you seen the quality of their streaming? Have you ever heard of a successful Australian streamer? Send Papa JF there and I'm taking control of it all.
And so that's at least part of the claim you're making at the moment, to buttress the notion that the Jewish people have a valid claim to the present territory.
Well,
if I was Bibi, I would actually be ashamed. I'd be like, well, there are other reasons, you know.
And there were a lot of movement back and forth.
Yes,
but the Jews have actually taken the land and made something of it.
Well, I'm saying something else, though. I'm saying that they held the land for 2,000 years.
Yeah, so Bibi is aware how bad this argument is. So it's like, oh no, let's go on the historical part, Jordan, because that doesn't seem solid at all.
Kicked out. The Arabs came and conquered it and immediately lost it to others and did nothing with it. The others did nothing with it. So it was basically, they took over my apartment.
The others. So there's the Arabs and then there's the others. The others did nothing to it.
Okay, a long time ago.
I guess he wants to separate the Arabs and the Palestinians?
Yeah, the guys who took over, who basically kicked me out, were kicked out themselves. The apartment was left barren, and many decades, in this case centuries later, I come back to this barren mess, okay, this ruin, and I build it up back, and I not only improve it, I not only make my ownership based on improvement, but then nobody else did anything with it. There was no someone else.
There was a couple of people that had to be targeted by a legion of Israeli terrorists so that you guys could install yourselves. And that had to be pushed in a separate part of the nation that eventually became the Palestinians of today. Oh, he's referring to the Arabs versus the British. Okay. I was like, is he trying to otherize the Palestinian Arabs as not true Arabs? Okay, now I get it better, Forex Shark. Thank you. Yeah, terrible arguments. When you realize that this is the state of one of the top intellectuals or someone who's regarded as one of the top intellectuals of our world, you realize that we need a better intellectual class. And certainly, the Jews need a better intellectual class if they want to win the war of ideas in terms of legitimizing Israel, because those arguments are extremely bad. When you do them for Europe, you would get called a racist, you would get called a white supremacist, but they do worse for Israel, and it's featured by a top intellectual. Bullshit. Who thought this would work? A little video about an enterprise. I don't know what's the goal here. Why would you take the risk of having a vertically unstable vehicle with people on top of it and add the instability of having this thing drive into water? Why? Yeah, engines cannot work underwater unless you have an exhaust that goes outside of the water, they eventually just lack oxygen. You also need an air intake outside of the water. Someone was asking me if I commented on this. I think I did. Are vaccines fueling new COVID variants? I think I just quickly winked to it. Wall Street Journal opinion. So the this is the establishment recognizing that what was a conspiracy theory and unsupported scientific speculation just a couple, just 1 year or two ago. Those were the statements that I would say. Those are the statements that all of these guests had on the Dark Horse podcast. Brett Weinstein has said stuff along that line. And now you have the mainstream establishment asking this question like it's a new thing. The answer, of course, is yes. Everything you can do to the evolution of a virus will change the course of this evolution. Some random bloke says, okay, this one I had read. Phytosoraptor says, I recently discovered the Montessori education system for children, and I wanted to share this with everyone. Yes, definitely a good system of education. It's possible that there are some bad parents who are attracted by this system of education. So you have to not make it into an extreme. You know, it's just a good approach. And if you're kind of a libertarian-minded, you already understand these things. You understand it's an instinct in the libertarian to understand that it's better to create a situation in which the child access the knowledge that they want themselves. They seek for it, they want to seek for it, they learn to seek for it, they learn the whole mechanism of from being on a couch to I learn something must be something that is self-propelled. Because if you don't go for self-propelling, you end up having a child who's like, all right, deliver everything to me. It's what they've done at school for the whole life of me. And so keep doing it. And so you develop a sense of entitlement. I just have to sit and knowledge will come to me. And you create a child that is very likely to be subject to brainwashing of all kind and dependence on the normiplex. To develop an independent mind, you need to develop the whole system. And it's actually easier to do this than to digest all of the information and to package it for the child. So there's really no reason why you wouldn't go for the easiest technique, which is just create environments and observe and let it happen. Create environments where curiosity is rewarded by knowledge and where that curiosity is encouraged to stem from the child themselves. Absolutely, I agree fully with those principles. I don't know, I would have to check into the details, but there's just too many people interested in this schooling method that I'm sure there are misuses of it. The Sixth Sense says the only way they would have been able to give millions the death jab is via the Emergency Act, the ability to push something out that does more good than it does harm, which is obviously a lie. Oh yeah, I mean, these temporary violations of liberty should be eradicated in our political system. It's always how the government does dishonest stuff, and there's always no one ending up to pay for it and to be recognized as guilty of it. SARS-CoV-2 spike protein induces emagglutination, implications for COVID-19 morbidities and therapeutics and for vaccine adverse events. The electrostatic potential of the central region of spike protein from these four lineages of COVID was studied through molecular modeling simulations. So I like this. This science article would be a stunning, important discovery if it wasn't merely a model on a computer. I personally don't like, I think that modeling should be a tool to develop an hypothesis that is worth to test, but we have to have the test in reality. Because in modeling, some assumptions may not respect reality, and it may be a different thing in a real human body. That being said, isn't it stunning? They discover on computer models that the spike protein, the one that's featured in the popular mRNA vaccine, creates imagglutination. That is the very attachment of red blood cells and other crap that leads to solid forms. Agglutination means agglutinate. It means getting together into a solid form. And hema means blood. Now, that would give scientific credence to the Died Suddenly documentary. Perhaps these cases that these morticians are observing are not so random and not so anecdotal, but perhaps they represent a true effect of having a spike protein inside of you. They also say, amazingly, that on their model, on their computer model, ivermectin comes to attach to the spike protein in a way that keeps imagglutination from happening. So that would explain two things. It would explain why are morticians seeing jelly-like structures in the blood, why people are dying from the vax, and why ivermectin seems to be protective in some studies. Very interesting. But it's just a computer model again. We've had a study like this months ago. That seems to be a separate one with further investigation that came out at the beginning of December, so 1 month ago. And yeah, what I have to say about this is let's do this in a lab. We have to prove the imagglutination hypothesis in the lab so that it has some in vitro or in vivo validity. The Fed admits a recession is plausible, pushes back against unwarranted easing expectations. So basically, people were expecting that the Fed would slow down its rate hike. They're saying, no, it's unwarranted expectation. We will just keep increasing the rates until we can put inflation under control. So that would be a bad news for the stock markets and Bitcoin at the short term. If the Fed is real in what they say, it seems like they will keep going aggressively on the rate percentages, the interest rate that they charge on the creation of money. So what does that mean? Well, it means it's good to be on a short in the short term, I believe. Not a short of all the money you have, but a little short to be focusing on the possibility of a drop of price. I think it's going to come. As I said, 2023 will be probably a drop of price in January and eventually an entry into the bull run regime for up to 2025. Putin sends warship armed with hypersonic missiles to Atlantic and Indian Oceans. So Putin is just doing what the US does, which is to be in every ocean, and it's commendable. He shouldn't be targeted for doing what the US has always done. Total Grimm says, if you have debt, you're fucked. Oh yeah, it's when these rate hike, when the interest rates are going higher and higher, those who are stuck are those who have renegotiable mortgages, for example, and suddenly they were paying $900 a month, and suddenly they pay $1,100 and $1,300. Yes, which is why buying a house cash, if you can do it, it's the best way to go. Not everyone will be able to afford this. Not everyone will have huge entries of money that they're capable of generating within a small space of time. But if you can do this to protect against those kind of instability, that is the best thing to do. John Drake says, this should ultimately be good news for BTC, a decoupling from the stock and bond markets. Yes, well, that's why I say for the short term. In the long run, it doesn't matter what the Fed does. What matters is the rhythms of the halvenings, and then the Fed can only exacerbate interest into Bitcoin when they are in their period of expansionism of the money supply. What else did we have? Bodycam footage has emerged from Brian Korberger, the suspected killer of the four students in Idaho. Let's have a look at the footage.
Hello. How you doing? How y'all doing today? Good, good. Take a look at your driver's license real quick, if I could. See, he's right up on that van, man. You right up on the back end of that van, pulled you over for tailgating.
So the reason it's interesting is this is Brian Korberger traveling from Idaho to Pennsylvania with his father. So did his father know that he had committed a murder? That is the interesting question here.
Is this your car? Okay, cool. Where are you headed?
So this was on December 15th, after the murders, and the father is there to take him back to Pennsylvania.
From WSU, and we're standing early.
What's WSU? So we're okay. I'm having a hard time hearing you because of the traffic. So you're coming from Washington State University,
yeah.
And you're going where? Oh,
we're going to be going to Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
So we're slightly punchy because we're driving for hours.
Hours, days.
Hours to drive. Well, yeah. Almost a day.
Okay. And what did you say about some SWAT team thing? Or
there was a mass shooting and everything.
Now, the father says there was a mass shooting in Idaho. There was no mass shooting, but there was, on that day, a man, or on the day before, there was a man who was interacting with the police with shootings, and eventually the police killed him. So that may be what he was referring to there, that there was a shooting and they want to get to Pennsylvania.
Where?
Now, Master Slave has pointed to an interpretation that is probably an interpretation that a lot of people will say. Why must he speak of a mass shooting? Deflection. It does look like this, I will tell you, but I wouldn't necessarily find the dad guilty of anything there. First, it is my view. I mean, I don't know to what extent how the legal details of it work, but it is my view that we should not condemn a parent for being a loving parent. And, you know, if he's faced with his son telling him, I did something wrong. I don't think he should be guilty of murder for this. I don't think he should be guilty of anything if he just shows empathy and comprehension. To me, the same relationship exists between a parent and a child than is legally recognized for a husband and wife. But I think that the legal details of it are very different. I think if your wife commits a crime, you can literally collaborate with hiding the information with her, and that wouldn't be usable against her in court. But if your child commits a crime, I think they treat it differently. I think there's not this relationship of trust that is assumed by the evidence standard. So you could be forced to testify against your child, but you couldn't be forced to testify against your wife. I think that's what it is, but don't quote me on this. But as far as I'm concerned, if he was a caring parent who sees that his son is in distress, it would be understandable that he's trying to care for him, and that wouldn't make him a criminal in my view. Perhaps it would in the view of the system, though. The Sixth Sense says, look at the laundries. They knew Petito was dead, yet helped push the ID. It's still worth looking. Yeah, I mean, but it's what you have to do if you're in a relationship of care and trust. I mean, I understand that it's a moral gray area. There's lots of interest at play here, but I wouldn't hold it against the father if he tried to do a little deflection here. However, perhaps it would technically qualify as obstructing an investigation. But you would have to prove a lot of intent. You would have to know what they were talking about, and that there was literally a desire in the father to break an investigation.
Interesting.
Well, it's horrifying. It's always the universe, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And now he comments on the mass shooting and he says, it's horrifying. What a world, or something like this.
So y'all work at the university there?
I actually do work there.
Oh.
He says he works at the university there.
Okay.
Yeah, man, it does look like a deflection. I have to grant it to those who are pointing this out. It does look like a deflection to be saying there was a mass shooting when in fact, and there are horrible events, in fact two horrible events, there's another horrible events, and it turns out that your son has committed the other horrible events. Tillman says JF, his dad was in on it. I cannot draw this conclusion deceivingly, but that looks like it. Why would he bring the two events and try to focus a lot on the shooting? And there was like an interaction between the two, between Koberger and his father, where they were like, they said something along the lines of, well, there was two events actually. Two events, two shootings, well, two murders. That is kind of the son trying to say, Dad, shut up. don't be too deflective because it's becoming too obvious. The Sixth Sense says, was the cop naive or something? What cop hasn't heard every deflection excuse in the world? Well, from the perspective of the cop, he's just... first, to be fair to the cop, at this time... They had identified the suspect Hyundai Elantra as being from 2010 to 2013. So it wouldn't show on his radar because his actual Hyundai Elantra is a 2015. So they were wrong about the identity of the car at that time. So the cop couldn't get a message warning or whatever in his system telling him that a Hyundai Elantra was being looked for. So from his perspective, he was truly just making this arrest because these people were driving too close to a van. So that's okay. And if you do a traffic stop, you don't expect to fall out of nowhere on a murderer. Steven Robinson says, JF, Apple stock just broke a 20-year trend line of support. Apple represents 12% of the S&P. What do you think this signals? Well, I said what I believe in the current status of things. I am short. I am short a little bit. I'm not like short with all my money. I'm short with a small amount of my assets just to benefit a little bit from this drop. I expect that there will be a drop at the beginning of 2023. And so I want to make that bet. Of course, it could go all sorts of ways. The market, the stock market, BTC are extremely unstable, extremely price controlled by the exchanges, especially in the current monopolistic situation with Binance. Who knows where it will go? But generally, the signs of the market are telling me, and it's not a counsel that I give to you, but me, that yeah, further drop is to be expected. Tesla is a bloodbath, says Phytosoraptor. Yeah, and the news are bad. You know, the Fed just said to people, if you hope that we're going to get slower on the rate hikes, forget it. It's not happening. So this is suffice that a couple of other news items stack in the negative direction, and then the market will show its true potential for a big drop. That's my view. Shady Jesus says, what was the reason for the stop? Did JF already mention this? Yeah, they were driving too close to a van. There was another stop of which we don't have the body cam, but another stop for speeding. So two cases of they were nervous. They were driving nervous. The Sixth Sense says, I hear ya, though, JF. Maybe everything isn't so defined and a perfect scenario. It's still hard to believe for me. Personally, that is. You mean in the behavior of the dad? The Sixth Sense continues. He says, I still wonder how the car was totally wasted on the passenger side. Like it totally got in an accident with no repair. Oh, really? I didn't notice this. The car was destroyed. Let's have a look. You say on the passenger side. Oh, do you mean here?
Hello.
How you doing?
How y'all doing today?
This freaking Fox News system. Good, good. I can't even. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding
me,
Fox
News? Take a look at your driver's license.
I can't even. What the fuck is this? I don't see. I can't even pause without them showing me this crap. Are you kidding me, Fox News? What the fuck is happening? I don't see a car destroyed. There may be some brown marks here. That looks like just staining, but not destroyed.
Hello.
How you doing?
How y'all doing today?
Oh, you mean this? Oh, well, those are marks of dirt, but. And flies. When you drive for a long time, dead flies accumulate like stars. If you were traveling in what they call an optic flow in behavioral experiments, like little starlight that passes through, so it gives you the impression that you're advancing. Flies are accumulating on your car when you drive for a long time, and only a rain will wash them off. I know because I've been driving from Quebec to North Carolina.
Take a look at your driver's license.
Many times, 15 hours in a row, sometimes 20 hours in a row, 25 hours in a row, and that's what happens. Valet says, I used to collect bugs on the grill of my VW driving in Northern Ontario. Exactly. That's what happens. So that's what it is. Perhaps a last news item for tonight. Terror suspect who died after being investigated was a victim, mother says. This is a very misleading title, but the reality is we have a 14-year-old girl here who committed suicide, so saying she died is already an understatement. She was a 14-year-old girl. In the UK, I believe, she starts chatting with what they call right-wing extremists on the internet, including one from the US, and she gets convinced of certain right-wing ideas. But then, and then his mother is driven crazy by this. But then the FBI, the whole Secret Service agency of our country, and the Child Protective Service get interested in her case, start investigating her. Oh, you're getting radicalized. Now she's ashamed that all of this is getting exposed. She commits suicide. In my view, you guys of the governmental service of the UK, you guys have led to this suicide. It seems that she was happy hanging out in edgy environments on the internet, discovering her own autism and maybe her interest for these kinds of conversations. And it's you guys who turned this into a shameful experience for her. And it's the mother who who wanted to get her out of this. I think that it is a case of the normies really leading someone to commit a suicide who may not have committed it at all, if it wasn't of their judgment of her. Tillman says, JF, did you see the Tesla that went off the cliff and all the people in survived? The father is being looked at for attempted murder. I didn't look into it. I saw the images on social media. I didn't click on it. But I didn't know that the father was being looked at for attempted murder. So they claim that it was intentional? I don't know. I didn't look into it. But I saw it pass on my feed. Tillman, this one I read. Valet says, they killed her. Yeah, it does sound like this is what happened. Rutin Tutin says, because she typed words on a computer screen. Yeah, these aggressive interventions, they're going to have to ask themselves, is it possible that my intervention is creating more harm than good? Unfortunately, the government never asks themselves this. That is it for tonight. Much love, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.